Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to look at the results of baptism by the Holy Spirit, but we want to start from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples." Please underline disciples. "Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age." Okay, so the Bible is telling us something very important. We call this one the Great Commission. What Jesus Christ commissioned us, these are one of his final words that he spoke unto his followers, or those of us who are here. He said that we should go and make disciples. You can go into the world and refuse to make disciples. For example, Jesus Christ did not say that go and inspire them. He did not say that we should go and anoint people. These things are wonderful, they are good, but they are not the things that Jesus Christ said in his final words. He says that go and make disciples. You see, so you can go into the world and work signs and wonders to the world. You can go into the world and prophesy to them. You can go into the world and make them members of churches, or make them followers. You can go and convert them and pray for them. These are all wonderful things that Christians are supposed to do, but they are not the major things that Jesus Christ said that we should go into the world and do. What did he say we should go into the world and do? We should go and make disciples. A disciple is more than a church member. A disciple is more than a follower. You know, there were many people who followed Jesus Christ, but who were not disciples. He had crowds following him for various reasons, whether for signs and wonders, whether for maybe feeding, because he had fed 5,000, he had fed 4,000, and all that. People were aware that Jesus Christ was taking care of the 12 apostles and stuff like that. So people were following Jesus who were not really disciples. Who are disciples? Disciples are learners. The word just translated disciple just means a student, a learner. Okay, so Jesus Christ did not even tell us to go and make church members. He said that we should go and make disciples. So some of the things that we need to ask ourselves is, are we really disciples, or we are just members of a church? Are we learners? Are we people who are just following a particular denomination? Or we are learners. Learners of what? Look at the same scripture. It says that teaching them to observe. So Jesus Christ is emphasizing. He says that what I want you to do is not just to go and convert people or prophesy to people, but go and make them disciples. Go and make them students or learners. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So Jesus says that we should go and do what? Go and teach. We should go and teach, because it is through teaching that you grow in your walk with God, that you grow closer to God. It is through teaching that you mature as a spirit being. It is not through being prophesied to that you grow. It is not through being prayed for that you grow. It is not through being anointed or inspired that you grow. It is through being taught that you grow. I am emphasizing all of this so that we get to understand that the teaching of the word of the Lord to the world, to Christians, is a very important thing to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we should be careful that we do not make the minor things of the Christian life, such as inspiring people, prophesying, working signs and wonders, we should not make them the major thing that Jesus Christ said, go and do. Hallelujah. So we have been learning about very important things that Jesus Christ taught. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says that we should leave the foundational doctrine of Christ. We should leave the foundational doctrine. So there is a doctrine, a teaching that Jesus Christ did or taught. And one of it is the doctrine of baptisms. Hallelujah. Now we have been looking at the result of a very important baptism that makes us Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 8 says that, for by one spirit have we all been baptized into one body. In other words, by the Holy Spirit, if you become a Christian, if you repent and ask Jesus into your heart, instantly, spiritually, the Holy Spirit takes you and then he dips you into one body, into Jesus Christ, so that you come to be in Christ. And the first result of this baptism that makes us Christians is that you are a new creation. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 is what we talked about last week. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how does he get to be in Christ? The Holy Spirit takes him and baptizes. Baptize means dip. He dips the person into Jesus Christ. So if you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, that makes you a Christian, then the Bible says that all things have passed away. We say that you are a brand new person altogether. So God created again as he did in the beginning, but he created spiritually. He created spiritually. He created new human beings. So if you look on earth, not all human beings have got the same spiritual level before the Lord. If you are not a Christian, you don't have the same level as a Christian, because a Christian has got a new engine, so to speak, inside of him. It's like an old car that the engine is giving you problems, and then a brand new engine is imported, maybe from Germany if it's a German car, and then it is put in the old body. So the outwardly it may look like an old body. So outwardly, when somebody is a Christian, he doesn't change, his color doesn't change and all that. But inside of him, his spirit is a new thing. So God says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, so I want us to bear that one in mind. So we should behold the new, is what we said some time ago. Behold the new engine. In other words, God wants us to know this new engine so that we can make use of it. Know the new potential of your human spirit. Okay? Know the new, so that you do not live according to the potential of the old one, because this new engine has got a different and better potential. So he says that don't limit this new spirit through that is within you. Don't limit it. Okay? Don't impose the old story code. Don't impose the old limits on this new spirit or this new engine. This one is very important. Now, we also spoke about another result of baptism by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you become a Christian, you are set free from the law of sin and death, so that the things that you do not want to do, you have power right now. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2, has set us free from the law of sin and death. So there are two laws we looked about at. The first law is the law of the Spirit of life. That is a higher law that defies the natural law in our body, in our flesh, in our old nature. That's the old carnal nature, the body that we are still holding. The Bible says that this higher law of spirit of life is able to overpower the natural law of sin and death. So that if you do not want to sin, by the grace of God, you are able to live above the sin. So if you have a problem with stopping a particular sin, then you need to become born again. For example, some people say that, well, I want to stop smoking, I want to stop womanizing, I want to stop drinking, I want to stop maybe a particular trait, lying and all that, worrying. When you become a Christian, there is a new law in you. The Bible says that this law is the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So once you are baptized or dipped in Christ Jesus, this law becomes operational in your life, so that by His grace and by your own determination, you are able to overcome the particular sin. All right, so we spoke about that. Now I want us to move on, and we want to look at the other results of being a Christian. Is a Christian the same as an unbeliever? No. Spiritually, he is a different person altogether. He has a new engine inside of him, newly brand new created engine, and we want to learn some of the things that God has blessed, the potentials of this new engine and new life that we can have as believers. I want us to read Romans chapter 5 and then verse 5, and we want to establish the fact that the love of God, which is called agape, is shed abroad your heart if you undergo this baptism. If you become a believer, then the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So this same Spirit that dips us into Christ baptizes us into one body, so that we become part of Jesus Christ, one with Jesus. This same Spirit also shed abroad in the heart of a Christian the agape love. Agape love is different from the other types of love that we know about. Okay, agape love is God's kind of love. It's a love that God exhibited whilst we were yet sinners, whilst we were not deserving of love. He unconditionally loved us. He came to die, lay down His life for us. So that is agape love. It is a love that you show to people in spite of the condition of the people, in spite of the behavior of the people, in spite of the attitude of the people. The people may be bad, insolent and all that, but you still love the people just because you have this God kind of love inside of Him. And if you read 1 John chapter 3 and then verse 14, the Bible tells us something very important about this type of love, this special love that God showed unto us, which the Bible says that believers have got in their spirits. Okay, they have got in this brand new engine, so to speak, that God has put inside of them, created and put inside of them, has got this potential to love the way that God loved the world, okay, unconditionally. 1 John chapter 3 and then verse 14 says that we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, or we love Christians, all right? We love the brotherhood. Says that we know we have passed from death to life. How do we do that? How do we know? Because of the love that we have for the brethren. Says that he who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, if you are born again, then the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And then that is one sign to make you to understand that you are truly born again. When you show this love practically in your life to the brothers. So you cannot be a Christian, be really dipped into Jesus Christ, have this love inside of you, and say that I don't love Christians. Christians may have all the faults that they may have, the church of the Lord, the brotherhood, they may have all of the problems that they may have, but still you love them, and you love them unconditionally. You love them in spite of some of the wrong things that the church may do. You still love them unconditionally, just because this love has been shed abroad in your heart. You must understand that God cherishes the church so much. God himself loves the church. He is aware of some of the hypocrisies of the church. He is aware of some of the wrong moves of the church, some of the wrong attitude of the church. He is aware of it, but he still loves the church as his to be wife, as his bride. The Bible makes us to understand. You know, sometimes if you look at the way that people love other people, we are recording, the way that people love other people, other of their spouses and all that, you'll be amazed. And sometimes you don't understand why maybe one particular good man, nice man, married a sister. You may know the sister as a very bad person, and maybe the sister may not look beautiful to you. The sister may look some way, have a bad character and all that. And sometimes you know this good man who has married the sister, or maybe this good woman who has married a very bad man, and you don't understand what did he see in this person that he loves him so much. And you sit down and you don't understand how come this man or this woman loves the bad spouse like that. This spouse who doesn't have a good character and all that, who is arrogant and stuff like that. But there is something that the spouse has seen in the other person. That is why he loves the person. Okay, and that is the way that Jesus Christ loves his church. The church may have all the failings that you know about, but Jesus Christ still loves the church. He says, this is my wife.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Okay, just as maybe your wife may be beautiful to you, but not beautiful to everybody. And people may wonder, why did you marry this woman? God is so wonderful. He puts something inside of us that attracts us to the other person. You may not be attracted to everybody, but to somebody. He may be a cripple, but you'll be amazed how somebody will marry that cripple, because the person sees something in the person. The church may be crippled to you, but Jesus Christ still loves his bride. You will not understand, but there is something in him that makes him love the brethren. So, similarly, he wants us to show this love to fellow Christians and the church, and to treat the church well, just because in spite of the bad nature of the church to you, still the church is a bride of Jesus Christ. So this is something I need to make you to understand. Some few other things about agape love. Number one, agape love should be shown to God. Unconditional love should be shown to God. We must love God unconditionally. We must love God whether he blesses us or he does not bless us. He has blessed us anyway. But in case you think that God has not done anything for me, it does not mean that you should not love God. In case you think that, well, God has not answered my prayer, it does not mean that you should not love God. He wants us to agape him. That is why the book of Romans chapter 8 says that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Greek word that is translated love in English in that verse is the word agape. All things work together for good to them that agape God. Alright, so if you love God unconditionally, not based upon the fact that maybe God has blessed you with a car, with a house and all that, but even when you do not have those things you are requiring or expecting from God, you still love God. That is how he wants us to show this love towards him. So you must still love God in spite of whatever thing that comes your way. Secondly, agape love should be shown to yourself. In other words, you must love yourself unconditionally. There are some people who do not love themselves, who criticize themselves, who speak badly at themselves. They can look at their faces in the mirror and say that you are very ugly. They can look at themselves and say that you are a bad wife, you are a bad husband, you are a slow learner, you cannot amount to anything. I mean, they insult themselves. When people do that to them, they will be angry, but they do that to themselves. They talk themselves down, they speak themselves down, they say how black they are. That means that they are not going to amount to anything. But this one is not agape in yourself. You must love yourself in spite of your shortcomings. You are you. You must appreciate yourself, and from that point you improve upon your behavior. You improve upon whatever thing that is a shortcoming for which you think that you should not love yourself. So God wants us to agape ourselves and not talk ourselves down. Some people agape other people, but they speak or they do not love themselves unconditionally. That is wrong. God wants us believers to let this love appreciate you, appreciate your lot in life, appreciate the family that you came from, appreciate the continent that you are on, appreciate the country that you are in. You must love unconditionally so that you can be able to improve the situation where you are. Nobody criticized himself and did really improve. God wants us to love ourselves so that from that point we can be able to improve, and he will work on us. All right. So that's the second thing. The third thing is that agape love should be shown to others, and that is very obvious. We must show unconditional love, God kind of love, to other people. And it is a very important thing that we show this kind of love. Now, if you read the book of John chapter 13 and then verse 34, the Bible says something to us very powerful. Jesus Christ is speaking in John chapter 13 and then verse 34. He says that by this shall all men, or let's take it right from the onset, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A new commandment. So Jesus Christ knows that he is going to make a new creation, and then he gives them a new commandment. A brand new people receive a brand new standard, a brand new target, a brand new level that they must reach up to, not after the old target. All right. The brand new love target is what we are reading about. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we love one another, we love other people the way that Jesus Christ has loved us. He loved us enough to leave his throne in glory, to take on the form of a man, to die a shameful death on the cross, naked on the cross, to go to hell for us, and all that. So he says that I want you to love others the way that I have loved you, not love your neighbor as yourself. That belongs to the Old Testament. That belongs to the old man. There is a new engine. There is a new spirit. There is a new creation who receives a new commandment. commandment, a higher standard to live by, not loving your neighbor as yourself, but loving your neighbor more than yourself, the way Jesus Christ loved us more than himself to lay down his life for us. Okay, so he says that we should do that. Verse 35, by this kind of love, all men will know that you are my disciples. Please underline the word disciples. We said in the beginning that Jesus Christ said that we should go and make disciples of the nations, not church members who are not walking in agape love. But God wants us to teach them about his type of love. Agape love is a love that Jesus Christ actually coined and then he introduced, because before he came around, people were not loving people more than themselves. They were loving their neighbors just like themselves. Okay, after the Torah, after the law of Moses, so they were doing an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and that is how they were loving themselves. I mean, it was said in the law that you should hate your enemies and things like that and love your friends. But Jesus said that I say unto you, love those who hate you and do good to those who despise you and stuff like that. Okay, so Jesus Christ is bringing a new covenant, a new thing for this brand new people. I mean, how spiritual standard people that he is going to create. And he says that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by showing agape love, unconditional love. Then unbelievers are going to know that we are the true disciples of Jesus. I want you to note something, that God wants us to be characterized by agape love, not by the anointing or by power or by success or by wealth. These things are wonderful. It is wonderful for your life to be enriched monetarily. It is wonderful for you to have knowledge. It is wonderful for you to have success. It's wonderful for you to have power. But God says that it is not the power that is going to make people know that we are disciples. It is by agape love that he wants us to let people know that we are disciples. So by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So love is a priority to God. That is why the new spirit, the brand new creator spirit, the new engine, he has flooded it with something. It's like you put a lot of oil into your engine for it to work. Okay, so God has put this love inside this new engine. He says that it is capable of running and showing this love wherever you go. You go with this new engine, it has got a new potential, your new spirit. If you're a believer, you've got a new potential, a new ability to love people unconditionally. Now you must practicalize it in your life. Now the other thing I want us to know about agape love, this God kind of love, is that the love makes what we do count before God. And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is by agape love that what we do before God will count. It will mean something to God when there is agape love tainting it, when there is agape love flavoring it. So you can do wonderful things for God, but if it is not flavored by agape love, it is not soaked in agape love, those things do not count. In other words, agape love is what God actually is looking for. We can do wonderful works for God. We can do wonderful projects for God, build edifices, entities, and all that. But if it is not motivated and filled and mixed with agape love, then the Bible makes us to know it is nothing before God. 1 Corinthians 13, do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It means that I'm just making noise. Although I can speak in tongues powerfully and I can exhibit anointing, but if it is not by love, then it is not profiting me. It is just making noise before the Lord. All right, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. Okay, so agape love is very important to God. The Bible makes us to know that we can do wonderful things, move mountains, move problems in society, but if it is not motivated by love, it can be motivated by pride, it can be motivated by maybe showbiz, trying to show something but not showing agape love. The Bible says that it does not profit you. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 goes on to define agape love. Love suffered long and is kind. Love does not envy, and love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. In other words, if you have agape love inside of you, when even you suffer long, you are still kind. Some people suffer and then they become wicked because of the suffering and the things that they went through. They want everybody to suffer also. But the Bible says agape love suffers long and is kind. God wants us to be kind and does not envy. Envy is actually not liking what you have. Envy is hating what you have and liking the gifts that somebody has. You have your own gift. You have your own nation. Hating what you have and then liking what somebody has. That is the basic definition of envy. God does not want us to be envious and covet other people's houses or cars or neighbors or whatever thing that is our neighbor. God does not want us to do that. Okay? So God wants us to show true love by agape in ourselves, like I spoke to you in the beginning, so that you do not envy. You love yourself. You love your lot in life. So love does not parade itself. It doesn't boast. It doesn't boast. In other words, if you are somebody who is always parading yourself, you must know that you are not showing God kind of love. God himself does not parade himself. God is a hiding God. If you don't take care, you will not know that God is in something, because although he is in it, he can take a so low a profile that you take that thing for granted that God is not in it.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.